reading in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is tenth canto, chapter 2, prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb, text number 26. This is the first of the prayers. The devatas have assembled and they're offering prayers now for Krishna in the womb. There's 16 verses in these prayers. So this is their first statement about Krishna. Translation. The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all ingredients of creation. And therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone for all time. You are the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. That was a purport by Srila Prabhupada, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. So bear with us. The demigods or devotees know perfectly well that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the true substance. Whether within this material world or in the spiritual world. Srimad Bhagavatam begins therefore with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Satyam Param Dhimahi. Same as here, see, Satyaparam. Vasudev Krishna is the Param Satyam, the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth can be approached or understood by the Supreme Method, as declared by the Supreme Truth. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvataha. 1855 in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti, devotional service, is the only way to understand the absolute truth. For protection, therefore, the demigods surrender to the supreme truth, not to the relative truth. I want to interject here. Saranam praprana, we take shelter of you for protection. So protection is a theme of this prayer. And you'll see it comes up in this purport, protection. For protection, therefore, the demigods surrender to the supreme truth, not to the relative truth. There are persons who worship various demigods, but the supreme truth Krishna declares in the Bhagavad Gita 7:23, Antavattu Palam Tisham Tad Bhavanti Alpame Edisam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Worship of demigods may be useful for a limited time, but the result is antavat, perishable. This material world is impermanent, and the demigods are impermanent. He's talking about the demigods here because they are example of relative truth. The material world is impermanent, the demigods are impermanent, and the benedictions derived from the demigods are also impermanent, whereas the living entities living entity is eternal, nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. Every living entity, therefore, must search for eternal happiness, not temporary happiness. The word satyam param dhimahi, the words satyam param dhimahi, indicate that one should search for the absolute truth, not the relative truth. While offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nasinghau Naratasya chagadam udanvati majato nao. Generally, it is understood that the protectors for a child are his parents, but this is not actually the fact. The real protector is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Taptasya tat prati vidir ya ihanja sheshtas pavat vibho tanubritam tvarupekshitanam Bhagavatam 7.9.19. If neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a child, despite the presence of his parents, will suffer. And a diseased person, despite all medical help, will die. In this material world, where there is a struggle for existence, men have invented many means for protection, but these are useless if the Supreme Personality of Godhead rejects them. Therefore, the demigods purposefully say, Satyatmakam tam sharanam prapanna. Real protection can be obtained from you, O Lord, and therefore we surrender unto you. The Lord demands that one surrender unto him. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam charanam raja. And he further says, sakrit eva prapano yas. Notice the same word, sakrit eva prapano, prapana, prapano. Sakrit eva prapano, yes. Tavasmiti chayachite abhayam sarvada tasmai dadamye tad vratam mama. One surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, my Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you. I always give him protection. That is my vow. That's from the Ramayana, the Yudha Kanda 18:33. The demigods offered their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he had now appeared in the womb of his devotee, Devaki, to protect all the devotees harassed by Kamsa and his lieutenants. Thus the Lord acted as Satya Vrata. The protection given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared unto the protection given by the demigods. It is said that Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but when Lord Ramchandra went to kill him, Lord Shiva could not give him protection. Now, the next two paragraphs of this purport are from Krishna book. You may recognize it. There's one little change. Otherwise, it's straight from Krishna book. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada, and followed by many other demigods, had now invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa. They began to pray for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in select prayers, which are very pleasing to the devotees and which award fulfillment of devotional desires. That's the change. In Krishna book says, which are pleasing to the devotees and which fulfill their desires. So here it's been focused a little more. Awards fulfillment of devotional desires. The first words they spoke acclaimed that the Lord is true to his vow, such a vratam, As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna descends upon this material world just to protect the pious and destroy the impious. That is his vow. The demigods could understand that the Lord has taken his residence within the womb of Devaki to fulfill this vow. They were very glad that the Lord was appearing to fulfill his mission, and they addressed him as Satyaparam, or the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everyone is searching after the truth. That is the philosophical way of life. The demigods give information that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. One who becomes fully Krishna conscious can attain the Absolute Truth. Krishna is the Absolute Truth. Relative truth is not truth in all three phases of eternal time. Time is divided into past, present, and future. Krishna is truth always, past, present, and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by supreme time in the course of past, present, and future. But before the creation, Krishna was existing. And when there is creation, everything is resting in Krishna. And when this creation is finished, Krishna will remain. This is Trisatyam. Huh? Therefore, he is absolute truth in all circumstances. If there is any truth within this material world, it emanates from the supreme truth, Krishna. Satyasya yonim. If there is any opulence within this material world, the cause of the opulence is Krishna. If there is any reputation within this material world, the cause of the reputation is Krishna. If there is any strength within this material world, the cause of such strength is Krishna. If there is any wisdom and education within this material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the source of all relative truths. So now the purport goes on. That's from Krishna book. Devotees, therefore, following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, pray, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami, worshipping the Adi Purusha, the Supreme Truth Govinda. Everything, everywhere, is performed in terms of three principles, Jnana, Bala, Kriya. Knowledge, strength, and activity. In every field, if there is not full knowledge, full strength, and full activity, an endeavor is never successful. Therefore, if one wants success in everything, one must be backed by these three principles. In the Vedas, Svetasutara Upanishad 6.8, there is this statement about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Natasya karyam karanam chavidyate natas samascha vyadikas chab yadikas chadrishyate paras parasya shaktir vividaiva sruyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to do anything personally, for he has such potencies that anything he wants done will be done perfectly well through the control of material nature. Swabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. Similarly, those who are engaged in the service of the Lord are not meant to struggle for existence. The devotees who are fully engaged in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, more than 10,000 men and women all over the world, have no steady or permanent occupation. Yet we actually see that they are maintained very opulently. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.22, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshema vahamyaham. For those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I carry to them what they lack and preserve what they have. The devotees have no anxiety over what will happen next, where they will stay, or what they will eat. For everything is maintained and supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has promised, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati, O son of Kunti, declared boldly that my devotee never perishes. 931. From all angles of vision, therefore, in all circumstances, if one fully surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no question of one struggling for existence. In this connection, the commentary by Sripad Madhvacharya, who quotes from the Tantra Bhagavata, is very meaningful. Sat chabda uttamam bruyat anandatiti vai vadet yeti jnanam samuddhishtam purnananda drishishtataha atrvachcha tada danat satyatya chojate vibhu. Explaining the words satyasya yonim, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is the avatari, the origin of all incarnations. All incarnations are the absolute truth, yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. Dīpārcyareva hi daśantaram abhyupecha dīpāyate, Brahma Samhita 546. There may be many lamps, all equal in power. Yet there is a first lamp, a second lamp, a third lamp, and so on. Similarly, there are many incarnations who are compared to lamps, but the first lamp, the original personality of Godhead, is Krishna. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The demigods must offer worship in obedience to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one might argue that since the Supreme Godhead was within the womb of Devaki, he was also coming in a material body. Why, then, should he be worshipped? Why should one make a distinction between an ordinary living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? These questions are answered in the following verses. And then there's 15 more prayers. So here we have the devatas. There are eight ways in which he is satya. Satya means truth. So satya vratam, satya param, tri satyam. They start by saying satya vratam because his appearance is in fulfillment of his vow. So satya vratam. He's now in the womb of Devaki, and he has made his vow that he will, well, as I'll go through this vow part, satya vratam, and then satya param dhimahi, he is the absolute truth. There may be different satyas or truths, but satya param, this is the supreme truth or the absolute truth. Tri satyam, and this kind of explains what is meant by absolute truth. He is sat, or existing, in three phases. Tri means the triple satya. Before there is creation or manifestation of the material world, satya, he's there. While the creation is there, satya. And after everything is annihilated, satya, he's there. Whereas the relative truth, it's only there during one phase. Or another meaning, as Prabhupada explains, tri satya, past, present, and future. So anything that's a relative truth, it may be present now, but in the past it wasn't, and in the future it won't be. But it was always there, past, present, and future. That's the absolute truth. Satyasya yonim, and is the origin of all other satyas. I should point out that this Satyasya Yonim is given two different purports in this, two different meanings. In other words, Satyasya Yonim, he is the source of all relative truths. Well, that's Satya, is the relative truths in the material world. Like Vibhudimat Sattva, those manifestations of opulence in the material world, which especially are representatives of the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, they're called Vibhudimat Sattva, right? Among warriors, I am Rama. Among aquatics, I am the shark, and so on. The Vibhudimat Sattva. So he is the origin of anything that strikes you as particularly heavy or important or opulent. Satyasya Yonim. But then Prabhupada mentions on the last page of this purport that Vishwanath Chakravarti says, takes this satya as meaning referring to Krishna's expansions. So you can take it that way too. So Satyasya Yonim, he is the origin of all other satyas, where the satyas are Ramadi Murti Shukaladi Yamena Tista Nana Avatara Akaro Bhuvaneshu Kindu. So many Nana Avatara, so many avatars are there, they're coming out. Rama, Nisringa, Vamana, Varaha, and so on. So they're satya in the absolute sense. As he quotes from Brahma Samhita, Dipachar Eva Hidash, like one candle lights another candle. Deepa, one candle lights another light, lights another light, lights another. So they're all equal in candle power. But still, one is first, one is second, one is third. So Satyasya Yonim, and that's explained. That therefore he's the Adi Purusha. There may be other Purushas also, other expansion, but he is Adi Purusha. Satyasya Yonim. So you can take that two ways. Both are correct. Satyasya Yonim. Nihitam cha satye. And satya here means the fundamental principles of material creation. He's entered into all of them. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. Prabhupada quotes here. So Satyasya Yonim Nihitam Sa Satye. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6. Satyasya Satyam. Of all truths, he is the truth. So whatever appears to be real or substantial, that's because it's bounced off of Krishna. It's reflecting something from Krishna. Satyasya Satyam, he is the truth of all truths, or that which gives reality to anything else. In other words, the relative truths have their even that little truth in there because of being supported or based upon the absolute truth. So Satyasya Satyam, Ritta Satya Netram, and the origin of whatever truth is pleasing. Sunetram means pleasing. Sutta Satya Netram. Satyatmikam. And he is made of truth, you could say. His very self is truth. As Prabhupada says, he is Satchit Ananda. His body is truth. His knowledge is truth. His Ananda, his pleasure, is truth. Not like us, false bodies, false knowledge, false pleasure. He is satyatmakam. Everything about him is truth. Therefore, tvam sharanam prapana, we come to you for taking shelter of you for protection. So those are the eight ways in which the Lord is described as satya. Prabhupada points out somewhere else in Bhagavatam that repetition is one of the signs of ecstasy. Just like even in the material world, there was this humorous record years ago. John, Marcia, John, John, Marcia, Marcia, John, 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 Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. You like that. Repetition is a sign. So even like that, well, you know, when there's emotion. Yes, 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 or no, no, no. You know, like that. So here's all these satyas. They are impressed by the reality that Krishna is there, so in their ecstasy. It is beautiful. Satyavritam, satyaparam, satyam, satyasyam. You can see that demigods, they can make such nice prayers on the spur of the moment. So the true substance, he wants satyavritam. So that vratam, because he is such a vratam, therefore you can surrender to Krishna. So what is this vow? Prabhupada quotes this very nice shloka from the Ramayana. Lord Ramachandra, sakrit eva prapana, one who prapana, same word, one who surrenders to me, sakrit eva, just accomplishes it once. And he says, tavasmi, I am, from now on, I am yours. Tavasmi. And says to me, I am yours. Tava asmi. I am yours. Abhayam sarvada tasmai. I give unto him always abhayam. Fearlessness. At that point, that person no longer has anything to be afraid of. Lord Ramachandra says, once one comes to me and says, from now on I am yours, I give unto that person abhayam, fearlessness. Etad vratam mama, that is my vrata. Vrata means promise or vow. So, satyavratam, he is always true to his vow, or his vow is always carried out. So Prabhupada, in explaining how the Lord always carries out his vow or satyavratam, he explains that although, he quoting this text from the Svetashvatara Upanishad, Natasya Karyam Karadam, he has nothing to do. This is explaining the Lord, he has nothing to do, and there's no one equal to or greater than him. But still, although he does nothing, he has got multitudinous, a variety of shaktis, powers. And they carry everything out. They carry everything out perfectly because those powers work in three essential divisions, jnana, bala, and kriya. And he says, you know, if you want to accomplish anything successfully, there has to be jnana. You have to know how to do it. There has to be knowledge. You know, a blueprint or whatever, and then bala, the strength, and then kriya, the actual activity to carry it out. Jnana, bala, kriya. So these, he says, these are the three principles of successful accomplishment: jnana, bala, and kriya. Any one of these by itself doesn't work. Jnana, bala, and kriya have to be there. So Krishna has his energies and they're completely perfect in jnana, bala, and kriya. So therefore, anyone who takes shelter of him, that will work. And he quotes Prahlad Maharaj as saying, you know, your mom and dad may not be able to protect you. The doctor may not be able to protect you. Unless there's the further protection of Krishna. Obviously, it's seen that these other protectors, they always fail. They're called fallible soldiers. So, but Krishna is infallible. He doesn't fail his devotees, satyavratam. Therefore, he can accomplish. Therefore, his vow, his promise is always carried out. Whereas other promises, sometimes even my intention may be to carry out my promise. Yeah, I'll take care of you. But then I fail because I'm sorry, I went broke. If I had the money, I'd give it to you, but now I'm broke. Good intentions, right? But Krishna doesn't go broke. So therefore, satyavratam, he can depend upon him. Therefore, declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. You see, the demigods are very anxious, been put into anxiety by Kamsa, who's making a mess of everything. And so they go to him for shelter. Reciting here the way that he's competent take care of everything that has been promised in this way. Satyavatam, Chudu is Val, Satyaparam, the absolute truth. Not also relative truth means the demigods. People go to them and surrender. But as Prabhupada mentions, they cannot always also, you cannot say about them, satyavratam. When he mentions here, Ravana was under the protection of Lord Shiva, but Shiva could not take care of him properly. Satyavratam, satyaparam, di satyam, satyasya yonim. Nihitam cha satye satyasya satyam vita satya netam satyatmikam tvam saranam rupana. Any questions? Yeah.
It seems as if it would be a mistake to consider that the Lord's protection necessarily means there won't be any Kamsas in our existence.
Any what?
Any Kamsas.
Well, no, the disturbances are there so he can give us protection. Huh? Yeah, well, I mean, who's he going to protect you from? Sometimes the Lord sends the demons just so the devotees can see how he works to protect them. I mean, in some ways it's all a dramatic arrangement just to exhibit these things. So the harassment of the demons to the devotees actually increases their love of Krishna. So even the demons serve Krishna. Because when the devotees become harassed by demons or whatever, they take shelter of Krishna. So therefore, they become closer to Krishna. So that's why, like Queen Kunti, she says, bring them on. You know, give me more troubles. Because we take shelter of you.
And how does the Lord define never vanquished?
How does he define never vanquished? Well, he says here that it will not happen. That whatever the devotee wants, he says, fulfills all their devotional desires. So the devotional desires of devotees will not go unfulfilled. That's what it means. The devotional desires of the devotees will not go unfulfilled. Sometimes, if a devotee has material desires, they will go unfulfilled. And that's the way he fulfills their devotional desires. By removing their material desires. But Krishna satisfies the devotees better than they could satisfy themselves. So we may approach him with material desires, but he takes away the material desires and instead gives us himself, and we say, "Oh, this is Actually, you know what I really want. I thought I wanted this, but what I really want is you. So that's what he gives the devotee. This is nice. Huh? We should not be afraid. Abhayam sarvada tasmai didam ye tadvritam mama. That is my vow. Lord Ramachandra says, one who surrenders to me really has nothing more to fear. And when people have doubts about this, what they really want to know, well, what if I sort of surrender? How much protection do I get? What if I sort of surrender? Well, from the system of Parampara, coming from Prabhupada, I have not gotten how much very good instructions to give people how to be in Maya. So you have to go somewhere else for that one. But one who surrenders to Krishna, he's given fearlessness. Anyway, Krishna says, even if you sort of surrender, you don't lose. It gives that assurance in the Bhagavad Gita. That's basically what Arjuna is asking. What if I sort of surrender? I make partial advancement. But still, having worldly mindedness, he says, you don't suffer either. You actually do better. You did better that you were in the Hare Krishna movement and left than if you never had come at all. Any other questions? Yeah.
Would an example of a relative truth be something like the sky is blue?
Yeah. Satya here means something that exists. So anything that exists temporarily is a relative truth. It's a little confusing because sometimes it's called asat. What is temporary is called asat, and what is eternal is called sat. So sometimes the relative sats are called asat. And sometimes people take them as literally non-existent. But they're not literally non-existent. If they were literally non-existent, they wouldn't even be there to talk about or think about. So they're considered to be relative truths. Satyasya satyam. So they're admitted there, satyasya satyam. So they have a conditional truth, a dependent truth. Their existence depends upon the existence of something else, so that's called a relative truth. But that which depends upon nothing else for its existence, its well-being, its functioning, that's called absolute truth. There's only one of those. That's Krishna. Yeah.
But it says that the reason why Krishna told Arjuna to declare holy is because sometimes Krishna doesn't live up to his word. And so how does this fit in with the fact that he's called Satyavrata?
Oh, Satyavrata means he lives up to his word when he gives it to his devotees. He's always true to his word. Otherwise, for political purposes, he was sometimes a little tricky. He was sometimes a little tricky. So people may say that was, but he was always tricky to protect his devotees.
Like Duryodhana.
Huh?
Duryodhana might be